ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मित श्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकाम् ईश्वरीम्। In the last day, we saw Krishna explaining that whatever desires are there or desires are fulfilled in the world, all those are fulfilled by one Ishvara, and the fruit of worldly goals is limited, whereas the fruit of the ultimate goal or moksha or realization of Ishvara is unlimited. So that was that half Ardha Shloka that we learned, the last Shloka, that is good to remember. Devan Deva Yajo Yanti Madbhakta Yanti Mamapi. So, Yajanti Deva Vratan Devan. Like there is a very similar Shloka that Krishna says in the 9th chapter, which is almost the same concept. It's the same thing that like he explains in a different way. Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pitrinyanti Pitravrataha Bhutanyanti Bhutejya Yanti Madhyajinopi Maam. So, like Deva, so here it's simple. Devan Devayajo Yanti Madbhakta Yanti Maamati. So, whoever seeks me, they will attain me. Whoever seeks some other devatas, means other goals, they will get those other goals. So, the other goals. Everything is ordained by Ishvara, everything is Ishvara, but when Ishvara gets limited, when our vision, what we see is limited, the fruit that we gain out of such a limited vision will also be limited. So it's like electricity. Electricity is has infinite potential. It has like electricity in itself means like it is the voltage that it can serve is infinite, but still if we have a 0-watt bulb, then the electricity that gets displayed, the outcome will be different. It will be different for a bigger lamp, it will be different for a bigger lamp and a smaller lamp similarly. So electricity is one and the same. So everything is electricity, but still it depends. The light given or the voltage that is being there, that is the outcome, that depends on the object or like how it is viewed. So similarly in Vedanta says that there are only two visions as we discussed. So one is vision of knowledge and the other is vision of the world. So the ultimate truth is that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, and that's what Krishna said, Asmatta Paradaram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dhananjaya. There is nothing different from me. That means everything is Ishvara, but if this everything is Ishvara, that Ishvara is forgotten, then view becomes limited. So limited view, output will be limited, though limited view is also view of Ishvara, but it is Ishvara viewed in a wrong way. So a person like is walking, like in during evening time, he is walking by and he finds a rope line. So he, like since it is, the light is dim, therefore he mistakes it for a snake. So even when the person is seeing snake in the rope, he is viewing rope. Rope alone is present there. So rope is the truth. Similarly, even when we perceive the world as the world, it is Ishvara. So everything is ordained by Ishvara, but the goal antavattu phalam tesham. So if our view is limited, if our vision is wrong, means vision of ignorance or vision of the world, then the outcome, the fruit that we will get, happiness that we will get out of such vision, it will be also be limited. It will be limited happiness that stays for a lesser period of time. So that is the same thing that Krishna has explained in many shlokas in this 5th chapter. Yehi samsparshaja bhogaha dukkayonaya evate. Whatever bhogam is there, bhogam that we get out of sensual or sensual pleasures. So bhogam out of sense objects, that is limited, that is sorrowful, that will lead to sorrow in the long run. And that's what Krishna also says later in the 9th chapter as anityam asukam lokam. The world is anityam and asukam, it is sorrowful. So we have to always remember that vision of knowledge. So if we seek Ishvara through vision of knowledge, means remembering that everything is Ishvara, then the fruit or the what we will get out of it, the phalam that we get is anandam. Whereas if we forget that, then we have vision, a limited vision, devan. So vision or goal, our goal becomes limited goal. Worldly goals have a limitation. Worldly goals cannot give us anandam. Worldly goals will only give us sorrow in the long run. They will give us limited happiness, but the happiness will vanish after some time. So this is what, like, the view or the realistic or the ultimate view, that everything is Ishvara. So mad bhakta yanti mamapi. So everything is Ishvara, but still people see Ishvara in a wrong way. So that is what Krishna says in the very next shloka. Some people who don't have buddhi, so avyaktam yaktimapannam manyante mam abuddhayah param bhavam ajananto mama avyayam anuttamam. So there are people like who avyaktam. So avyakta means unmanifested. So unmanifested here means Ishvara, who is all pervasive. So unmanifested means who is not manifested, who doesn't manifest in a particular form. So it's like electricity, which is unmanifested, that is infinite, that is all pervasive, it is always there. The capability is there. We just have to put a plug, or like we have to put a plug point and then take out our plug point, or like take out, have provision for putting a bulb or fan or whatever we want. So similarly, avyaktam, unmanifested, means Ishvara. So Ishvara, vyaktim apannam. So upon Ishvara, vyaktim. Vyaktim means vyaktam, manifestation or form. So unlimited. Form is limited. Formless is unlimited. So Ishvara is ultimately nirakaram, or without any form. But some people attribute forms to him. So avyaktam vyaktim apannam. So upon the avyaktam, some people superimpose vyaktim or form. So if this is the case, then like people who do sakara bhajanam, are they wrong? No, real sakara bhajanam will automatically lead to the other one. Yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananyena eva yogena. So in the 12th chapter, which we have already discussed, so Krishna all says that there are two types of bhaktas, nirguna bhakta and saguna bhakta. Saguna bhakti also has the nature of Ishvara. That's what Narada also said, as tatra abhina mahatmi jnana vismrati apavadaha. So a saguna bhakta knows that this gunam or this akaram, this form is just limited. That is because my mind cannot grasp the unlimited. So even as a small child cannot apprehend, cannot directly conceive in its mind the elephant, the form of elephant. Therefore, it is shown a small picture. The mother also buys a wooden elephant, all the while telling it that, okay, this is a wooden elephant, but the child won't understand. It's a different case there. But when the real time comes, the child sees the real elephant, and then it realizes that whatever it had seen earlier was just a transition. So a saguna bhakta knows Ishvara or Ishvara swabhavam, Ishvara swarupam. Even if such a person doesn't know, saguna bhakti means seeing Ishvara everywhere. So that viewing or seeing Ishvara everywhere, that automatically will lead the seeker from form to formless. Ishvara himself will take. So that vaitesham aham samudharta amrity samsara sagara. I will take such sakara bhaktas into nirakaram and into moksha myself, because they are always focused on me. So here it is not about bhaktas at all. There are people like who just think that Ishvara is form, Ishvara is limited, so limitation is superimposed on Ishvara. Okay, we can tell it limitation or form or gunam or vikalpam, modification, different terms, it all means the same thing. Unlimited Ishvara, upon such the unlimited formless Ishvara, limitation or form is superimposed by whom? Manyante, people think, whom? Manyante, mam. So mam, I am unlimited. So Ishvara is ultimately unlimited, but still abuddhayaha, people who don't have buddhi. So buddhi means again viveka buddhi, or nature of truth and untruth, or whatever is real, whatever is not real. So viveka buddhi, a person who doesn't use his intellect properly. So this is the reason why in ancient times people used to do sandhya vandanam to prachodayat. So the Gayatri mantra speaks about prachodanam, buddhi prachodanam. Buddhi prachodanam means, it means like give my buddhi the strength, give my buddhi the conviction. So the strength of buddhi means proper thinking or proper discrimination. So buddhi, a buddhi who which is able to think as to what is real and what is not real, such a buddhi give me. So such daily chanting the Gayatri mantra, remembering and sincerely seeking, that used to give people the intellect, the proper intellect. Proper intellect used to be developed in such people who used to be able to think as to what is real and what is unreal, and thereby they didn't consider Ishvara as in a particular form, but Ishvara as formless and all-pervasive. Unfortunately, these days people know to chant Sandhya Vandanam. People are experts, they can write commentaries on Sandhya Vandanam. There are people who can chant the sacred mantras of, or sacred mantras in that, or riks found in various Vedas, riks or sama, whatever it is. So the mantras of the Vedas they can chant, but still they don't know the real essence of all those mantras, which is this Ishvara. So abuddhayaha, person who doesn't have proper intellect, such people, or people who don't have strong intellect, it's not one person, it's many that Krishna is telling. Such people superimpose upon the formless reality form, and thereby param bhavam ajanantaha, they don't know my supreme form. They think that I am this limited form that they see. So my limited nature is known by them, but param bhavam, my supreme nature, they don't know. Supreme nature is Ishvara alone is present here, everything is Ishvara. So such that supreme nature they don't know me as mama avyaktam anuttamam. So avyaktam already came. So such people like don't know my supreme nature. What is my supreme nature? Avyayam. Avyayam means, vyayam means change or decay. So there is no vyayam, there is no decay for me. And anuttamam, so anuttamam means there is nothing greater than me. So my true nature of undecaying, which means eternal truth, the reality, we can say ultimate reality, or that which doesn't change at all. So that nature they don't know, and thereby they superimpose form. And such people go to various temples, they go and pray, like people go to Amma and say, I did that, I did this, I prayed to this Ishvara, I prayed to that Ishvara, and still nothing happened. So all those prayers, as we discussed yesterday, all those prayers are fulfilled by Ishvara only, but in that limited form, therefore the effect also, like the fruit will also depend on the particular form. The fruit will always be limited, and the fruit will depend on the Shraddha. So many people just pray to Ishvara and then leave it, that's it. They don't put their effort into it, that their effort is essential. And whatever, like how much effort we put, like irrespective of whatever effort we put, a person who doesn't apprehend, who doesn't remember Ishvara as all-pervasive, advitiya, satyam, like the truth behind the illusory world, such a person will not get eternal bliss Anandam is impossible for such a person. So many people thereby go to a man, complain and all. So all those complaining is of vain. Maybe like if they pray to Ishvara as such, they may get all these limited goals. But those limited goals cannot give a person eternal bliss. Eternal bliss can be achieved only through this one way of realizing Ishvara, which is by remembering that everything is Ishvara Vasudeva Sarvam. Such a jnani is content with himself. Such a jnani is ever steady in Ishvara. So he is ever blissful. So what is the cause of this, like this viewing or not viewing Ishvara? So why don't people like, it is very evident. It is very evident. Whatever we see in the world, we see it as changing. So immediately, a person who has a proper intellect will immediately doubt things. Oh, I see that this is like things are changing. So change is impossible without a changeless entity. So where is a changeless entity? So search will start. But many of us are content with the change because like our intellect is not properly developed. So why is it that though this truth is very evident, it has been explained in many scriptures, there are translations, there are various Mahatmas who preach this truth each and every day, still, why is it that people don't get this truth? Why is it that people don't realize? So that is what Krishna explains in the next shloka as Maya. We already know Maya. So Krishna has had said earlier that Devi Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Durityaya. It is very tough to conquer. Person who surrenders, who remembers Ishvara, means who remembers that everything is Ishvara, such a person is not controlled or is not in the grasp of Maya. What is Maya? Dual notion is Maya. The moment a person remembers that the duality that is seen is just an illusion in the non-dual reality, there's only non-duality everywhere, that very moment Maya vanishes. So that is Prapatti, as Krishna says. So Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrataha Mudoyam Nabhijanati Loko Mam Ajam Avyayam. So Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. So Sarvasya Prakasham, Prakashaha, Sarvasya, for all people, Prakashaha, Prakashaha means like or view. I am not visible to all people. So I am not visible to all people. Why? Yoga Maya Samavrataha, because there is a Yoga Maya which covers me. So there is a Yoga Maya which covers me. So it's like those, the treasure hunt that we know. So we'll see something right in front of us, but we cannot go through because there is a veil, or there's a if it is Mission Impossible or Bond movie, there is a electromagnetic force around, so we have to break through it. That is impossible. It's very tough. It's not impossible, it's very tough. You have to switch on the power from which the electromagnetic force is generated. I think electromagnetic, I am weak in worldly things. So similarly, I am veiled by Yoga Maya, and thereby I am not visible to all. So what is Yoga Maya? Duality as real. Knowing or thinking that duality is real, which means forgetting Ishvara. So forgetting Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, forgetting Vasudeva Sarvam, that is Yoga Maya. And I am covered by Yoga Maya, therefore it is tough for me, tough for people to know me. Therefore I am not visible to many people. In fact, as Amma says, like, how did this Yoga Maya come? It cannot be really explained. So there is no Yoga Maya at all, but somehow we have fallen into the Yoga Maya. So now we have to come out of it. Once we come out of it, we'll realize that there is no Yoga Maya at all. So it's like a person who is in the dream world and who asks, okay, what is the dream? Where has this dream come from? He cannot know narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate. About the world, about Yoga Maya, we cannot understand from here. We have to go beyond Yoga Maya, and then we will realize that there is no real Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya itself was an illusion. somehow it came into existence. We don't know why, we don't know how. We know that it is there, that is the only thing. So anubhavam, we have experience of yoga maya because we don't experience anandam. So anandam is veiled, so we know it is there, so we have to get out of it. So we don't, when the tire gets punctured, like we don't think, we don't analyze for hours and hours, okay, oh, call up the crime scene investigators, call them up, call a private investigator and then investigate as to how, why the tire became flat. We don't do that, we immediately change it. We know somehow it is there. Like, more important question is how to get rid of it. So when a person faces some sorrow, he doesn't try to find out, okay, how this came. He just wants a solution. So even when we encounter diseases, like we face some bodily health trouble, we don't try to analyze for 2 days or 1 week as to why or why it happened, what happened, etc. We just go to the doctor and then want a solution. The doctor will say, okay, you have this, you might have eaten this because of this, it might be because of that. We'll say, oh, cut the crap, like I don't want to listen to any of this, give me the medicine, I want to become better. So that is what we generally say. So similarly, so somehow this came up, in reality it's not there. Swakale satyavad bhati subhode satyasad bhavet. So this world or maya, everything what we experience now, it's like a dream world. In dream, while dreaming, the dream appears to be real. So we have to wake up somehow. We have to wake up. We don't know how. Somehow we have to wake up. Once we wake up, we will realize that there is no dream at all. And the way to wake up from a dream is, as Ramana Maharshi used to tell, like a dream lion comes and immediately wake up. So the lion of Vedanta, the lion of Guru, the lion of knowledge comes in front of us in this waking world. And with that, like, we can go over maya. And what is the lion of knowledge? Lion of knowledge is Vasudeva Sarvam. So people who don't remember that, people who are not able to remember that everything is Ishvara, they are in maya. And since they are in maya, therefore they don't apprehend me. They don't apprehend anandam. So this means, such a person who doesn't apprehend Ishvara, who is under yoga maya, who considers duality as real, such a person will never get anandam. So this is a fact. So if we take a survey of the richest people in the world, or people who are very old, so if we think fame, money or age, all those can give us happiness, give us eternal happiness. We can take a survey of all those people, we'll find that none of those people are really content. None of those people can say that, okay, this minute I am content with my life. I am happy with where my life stands, where it is taking me. I am perfectly happy. I am content. I am satisfied. So that is impossible to get. So if a person has to reach that state, he has to go beyond yoga maya by Vasudeva Sarvam. So such people who are bound by maya, mudoyam, so mudahas, they are mudas. So they are mudas, means like they are fools, because Ishvara is pretty evident. Whatever we see is Ishvara. So whatever is seen in the entire world is Ishvara. Matta paravaram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya. O Arjuna, if you ask me, like, how can I realize Ishvara? So you are a fool. Whatever you see is Ishvara. There is nothing different from me. So there are many people who go around seeking gurus and say, okay, I want to know Ishvara. I want to know Ishvara. I want to know Ishvara. I want moksha. I want moksha. Whatever is there is moksha only. Whatever is there is moksha. Whatever is there is Ishvara. There is nothing apart from Ishvara. There is nothing apart from moksha here. So if we are able to remember this, that everything is Ishvara, there is only Ishvara, there is only moksha, that very moment we'll overcome maya. That very moment we will become blissful. So fools, majority of the people are fools. Mudaha, I am nabi janati. They don't know me. They don't know this truth. Therefore, they don't really know me in the lokam. And they don't know me as Loko Maam Ajam Avyayam. So Maam means me, Ajam, unborn, Avyayam, undecaying. So eternal reality, which is constant, which alone always exists, such a reality these people don't know. In the world, there are many people who don't know me, and they are fools. And why are they fools? They are fools because they are bound by Maya. Why are they bound by Maya? Because they are fools. Why are they fools? Because they are bound by Maya. So we cannot really explain as to why they are fools, why they are in Maya. Don't know. We can't really explain how. We can't explain. But a person has the option, person has the choice at any point of time to overcome this Maya. So that the moment a person goes beyond Maya by saying that, okay, I am Ishvara, Maya automatically vanishes. What is the way to go beyond Maya? Vasudeva Sarvam. Ishvara alone is there here. So when a person concentrates or contemplates on this for just 1 minute, that is enough. So that very moment a person becomes Ishvara, a person realizes, a person gets Ananda. Of course, it is not as simple as it appears. So we have to do a lot of sadhana, abhyasam, constantly. 1 minute we will remember, the next minute we will forget. So the bliss will be limited again. So we have to again and again. So that is why they are called jijnyasus. So jijnyasus means they have some knowledge. They have got this knowledge, but it is not constant. So jnana nishta, establishing oneself in jnanam or maintaining jnanam, that is missing. So jnanam will be there 1 minute. So after, while listening to Gita or while learning the Gita, jnanam is there, anandam is there. After that, anandam will vanish temporarily. Again learn Gita, anandam will be there. Again forget. So a person has to try to maintain this thought as much as possible. So increase the time. So half an hour while learning Gita, and then like a little more than that, and then like extend it to worldly activities, some simple worldly activities, and like that, like extend it such that, so that a person is always thinking or contemplating that everything is Ishvara. So Krishna says that in the very next shloka, Krishna gives a revelation which is very important with respect to jnanis or with respect to gurus. So Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kashchana. So oh Arjuna, among these mudas, among these people, so or these mudas, these fools whoever are there in the world, they don't really know me. So, but I know, aham veda, I know samatitani vartamanani. So samatitani means whatever has crossed or passed. So past, vartamanam, vartamanam means current, and bhavishyam. So all those bhutani, all the beings, that means all these states and all the beings, everything I know everything. So Krishna says, I know everything, but mam tu vedana kashchana, me, very rarely people know me. So these fools don't know me. So here mam tu vedana kashchana, direct translation would mean that nobody knows me. So nobody means a person who knows Ishvara, jnani. Jnani tu atma eva me matam. So jnani is me. So Krishna doesn't have to separately say, oh, jnanis know me, but ajnanis don't know me. Jnanis are me. So I don't need to say that jnanis know everything. I know everything and nobody knows me. So nobody knows me means these ajnanis don't know me in reality. So they don't know me, but I know everything. So that is the reason why many times like we can see that Mahatmas, people who are realized, people who are abiding in Ishvara, or people whose mind is abiding in Ishvara, Such people can predict things, such people can know the past, the future, everything, because deshakala vishayativartiyate, they have gone beyond deshakalam. So a person, when he goes beyond kalam, he can know kalam in its entirety. So when we are like on earth, when we are in the United States or in earth, we cannot know everything clearly. But imagine that we are flying. So little above, like, we can see everything clearly. So everything will be known. So once we go beyond Maya, everything is known, because whatever we see is Nama Rupam, which is Maya. So one way to explain this is that when a person realizes Ishvara, Ishvara Shakti Maya is under his control. So such a person will know everything. And a better interpretation is that once a person realizes Ishvara, which is my state, so Krishna says, my state, I know everything. How will I know everything? Because everything is me. If everything is me, how can't I know everything? So if somebody goes and asks, Amma, Amma, do you know, like, as to what is Java? Amma will, like, say, oh, what is it? Is it like lava? She will not know. So Mahatmas might not know everything in the world, but they know the essence of everything. So that is enough. What do we get out of learning Java? Work for 5 years and then lose your job and then search for another job. So Mahatmas are always happy. They don't need money. They don't need job. So they are already happy. They don't have to get happiness by learning Java. Like if it is required, they will get people who know Java who will help them out. So Ishvara knows everything. Why does Ishvara know everything? Because everything is Ishvara only. Therefore, he knows everything. So even at the worldly perspective, such Mahatmas will know everything. Or essentially, they will know everything. The important thing is not about whether, like, I can predict, like, as to who will be the next president. Can I predict, like, when will be the next terrorist attack? There is no point of doing that. What will I get, like, if I predict the next terrorist attack? I will, like, I can contact the police. The police will doubt that you are staging it. It will be more problem. The police will not believe. And even if the police believes and takes a step, can we change future as such? Oh, yes, yes, yes. You have to do that. A spiritual sadhaka should change or help the world. So there itself, spiritual sadhaka vanishes. A spiritual sadhaka helps the world not because he wants to help the world, but because the world is Ishvara. So why does Amma help, or is Amma is willing to help everyone? So Amma is, each and every minute of her life she spends with her children. Why is it that? Is it because she wants to help the suffering people? No. Amma has answered herself that I like help out people. Why? I take care of people because I see myself in them. Prema swarupigalum atma swarupigalum aayirikkunna ellavarkkum Namaskaram. So Prema Swarupam Atma Swarupam. So Namrata Swarupananda translate, my children who are of the nature of love and supreme consciousness, Atman. So everybody is the self. So Amma sees herself everywhere. Amma sees Ishvara everywhere. And therefore she takes care of everyone, not just herself. So a spiritual sadhaka will never try to avoid whatever is about to happen in the future. He'll not try to get overly attached to the world, because he will try to help as much as he can, because everything is Ishvara. So there is no point of changing the world that doesn't really exist. So in the first place, terrorist attack, they will happen even if we want to stop it. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. We can pray. We can try our level best, but we should remember that everything is an illusion. It's just a long drama. It's just a dream. So if it is a dream, then what does it matter if we change it or not? So if we get overly attached and try to change the course of future or history, like if we try to change history, we'll get attached to it and then we will get into Dvaitam, which means we will become entangled in Maya. So that's what many people do. So when Krishna or any Mahatma says you have to do social service, people get so much into social service. So many create like an organization and try to collect friends, collect people around in the organization, and then try to do welfare for the entire world. And when it is time to give up one's body, ask such organization people as to are they really happy with what they did. They'll say, oh, if only like I would have got another 2 years, I could have helped such people. So Balakrishnan says, if there is a person who is helping out paralytic people or leprosy people, let's say, and at the end of his life he'll be contemplating, okay, if only I could like have some more time, I could have helped some more people. I haven't been able to help everyone in the world. So thinking that, he will die. What the misery there is that, or the irony there is that the person is trying to help out people and he dies of thinking, or dies thinking of such people, and thereby he'll be born as such a person, or a person who has such health troubles. So is that really required? No. Vedanta doesn't say that. So we have to do social service, but social service is not because we can save the world. There is no world at all to save. Social service is for purifying our mind. Social service, or trying to help out the world, is trying to get the mind to see Ishvara everywhere. So trying to remove raga dvesham, trying to remove bhedam in the mind, that is what the social service try to do. So social service indirectly tries to make us focus or remember that everything is Ishvara or Vasudeva Sarvam. That's why it's called Vasudeva Kudumbakam. So getting rid of dvaitam, trying to always focus on Ishvara as pervading the entire world. That is the goal of social service. Unfortunately, that aspect will be forgotten, and then a person dies either cursing Ishvara or wanting to do more such activities. It will again continue. It's like any worldly goal. It will go on and on and on. It's very tough to go beyond all those delusions. So delusion is not just like when Jesus Christ, when he faced, so many people have said, like when Jesus Christ faced devil, so he was able to ward off devil. So if Jesus Christ would have given us a description of the devil, then it would have been very easy. Or if somebody says with me, Maya is like this, very easy. But that's not how it works. Maya can come in any form, because forms are Maya. So Maya also has infinite potential, even as Ishvara. Maya is unreal, whereas Ishvara is real. So Maya can come in any form, so it can happen anywhere. So Narada's story about Maya, as to what is Maya, that's a very beautiful story, though we know it, but still mention it again. So once Narada wanted to know as to what is Maya, so of course, like many people, rather than seeking Ishvara, rather than just knowing that, okay, there is something called Maya which obstructs Ishvara. And Maya is, whatever you see is Maya. What you have to do is not contemplate on Maya, but try to go beyond Maya by remembering that everything is Ishvara. So many people want to know what is Maya. What is Maya? What is Avidya? Explain to me. Is it Bhava Rupam? Is it Abhava Rupam? Like, how does Shankara explain? How does Sureshwaracharya explain? How does Amma explain? How does Paramartha explain? So we want to know about what doesn't really exist. So that is dangerous. So it's like telling, okay, snake is seen in the rope. So I want to know the snake. I want to know about the snake. I want to know how the rope transformed into the snake. I want to know that. I know that it is a rope, but I want to know. Will a person really ask those stupid questions about how, what, why the snake, or what is the nature of the snake, or how the rope got transformed into the snake? No, because the moment a person knows rope, that means there is no snake at all. So there is no snake, there was no snake, there is no snake, there will be no snake. Then in that case, why bother asking the question? So maybe like after knowing this also, like a person will see the snake. So it is like water seen in desert. A person knows there is no water, but still he sees. So similarly, even when we learn, even after we learn Vasudeva Sarvam, we may see Maya, we may see the dual world. But we have to remember that it is like water seen in desert. A person knows for sure there is no water, then why question about how the water came? It's no water, I have told you there is no water, but still you ask me. So Narada goes to Ishvara and asks, okay, Maya, I want to know what is Maya. So many people want to know many things in the world, okay. What is this Maya? What is this falling down? Like, why is this person not spiritual? So what happened with this person? What happened with Amrita Swarupananda Singh? What exactly happened with my friend? So what is happening with me, with my life? So many questions we ask. All those are not at all required. The moment we surrender onto Ishvara, this duality entirely vanishes. And we get Anandam, that is what is really required. So if that we get, then we don't need anything else. We won't need anything else. Even if we know everything else, we will not get Anandam. Anandam can be achieved only when we realize Ishvara or remember that everything is Ishvara. If we remember that, we won't ask questions about other things. But Narada, maybe like Narada wants to teach us, therefore he asks, he went to Ishvara and asks, what is Maya? Explain to me. Oh Ishvara, what is, why Narada, like why do you want to know Ishvara? Can't you just like forget Maya? No, Lord, like my mind is a kind of curious mind. I like doubt things. I can't blindly accept things. Even if you say I can't blindly accept. So even when Amma says, okay, you are Ishvara, when somebody comes to a person and says, okay, tell me what is the truth, where is Anandam? You are Ananda Swarupam. You got to be kidding. And then the person will run away, never to come again. So Narada said, no Ishvara, like you have to tell me, I'm curious, I want to really know. I want to know, that's it. So Ishvara says, come, like let's go for a walk. So of course, like this is not the right time to go for a walk because it's winter. So during summer, that's the best thing. Like can there are a lot of benefits out of walking. So Ishvara went with Narada to a mountain, and then like they both were sitting on a rock. And then Ishvara said, okay, before I explain to you as to what is Maya, I think like the long walk, I am a little bit tired after the long walk. So can you get me some water? So Narada said, oh, very well, Ishvara, let me go and get it. Narada was walking by, and then there was a village there by the mountain, beneath the mountain or beside the mountain, whatever is the right word there. So, and Narada saw a beautiful girl, so he got attracted to her beauty. So he proposed to her, like they got married, children, and then like he was living in the village. All of a sudden, like there was flood. So even as Bihar flood and other things happened, so there was flood. So in the flood, like all the people in the village got washed away, so they died. Narada's family also died. Narada was somehow able to escape. So after escaping, he was sitting on a rock in the mountain and then weeping, crying out, oh, what happened? I lost my lovely wife. I lost my children. So how I used to play with them. So he was brooding over whatever happened. All of a sudden, like somebody comes to him and asks, where is my water? Oh, Narada, like 1 second he thinks, and then Narada gets his memory back. That oh Ishvara, like you had asked me to get some water, but I got lost away. So now do I have to explain what is Maya? So Narada says, no, I got it, Lord, like I don't want to experience it again. So that is what, like we have to remember that Maya is very delusive. We cannot really understand it because it is not real. That which is real can be really understood, and which is not real, we cannot explain it. If somebody asks us to explain about UFOs, we cannot explain. One person will give one explanation, oh, it is like it is round, it is circular, it has lights. Another person will say, it has lights but it has wings as well. Third person will say, the lights are red. Fourth person will say, oh, the lights are green. So nobody can really know. Like, we cannot really know because such things don't really exist. What really doesn't exist, we cannot explain it in any way at all. Maybe like just give a direction that, okay, this is the cause of your sorrow. So what Vedanta does is, I am facing sorrow, such as a seeker comes and tells. So Vedanta says that this is the cause. It is called Maya. What is Maya? Okay, for now, like, remember that it is something called Maya. But you can cross over it. So do you want to, it's like a person goes to the doctor and says, okay, I have a serious headache. So the doctor tries to explain, okay, you have a serious headache. Let me see, like, what did you eat? So what did you do? Tell me your routine. What did you do in the last 48 hours? Tell me, like, not missing even 1 minute. So after like a few minutes, the patient will say, okay, doctor, I'm going to see another doctor. Thus, I don't have the patience to explain all those because I am suffering now. I want to get rid of the suffering. So similarly, a tivra mumukshu, a person who wants to realize in this very birth itself or now itself, such a person will not question anything about Maya. Maya somehow came in. It means duality. It means forgetting Ishvara. It means dukkham. That is Maya, vision of ignorance, which will give us dukkham. That is Maya. I want to go cross over Maya. That can be done by Vasudeva Sarvam. So, mudho yam na bijanati. Ignorant people don't know me. Ajam avyayam. Ajam means unborn. And avyayam, unchanging. So I know everything. I know everything means there is only one way to know everything. There will not be any person in the entire world who knows everything. So if there is a person who knows everything, that means he is Ishvara. He is the creator of the world. He is the substratum of the world. So that means everything is Ishvara. So there is something called Maya which causes dukkham, which is forgetting Ishvara, which is getting deluded in duality, thinking that duality is real. We have to just go over it. We have to just madbhakta yanti mamapi. We just have to become madbhakta. We have to become bhaktas of Ishvara by Vasudeva Sarvam or matta paradaram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. So this is something which is very easy to do. So we can try questioning what we are facing now, like why I'm facing a lot of trouble. Now somebody might explain karma, somebody else might explain it in a different way. So we can go on explaining all these things, but it will lead to nowhere. So we can get some solution as well, some temporary solution. Many solutions, Nadi or horoscope, or meeting Mahatmas like Amma, we can get some solution, but all those solutions are also temporary. The real solution to all Dukkham, so eradicate Dukkham once and for all, is Vasudeva Sarvam. So that is the only way to get rid of Dukkhams. A person who wants to get rid of Dukkham completely will have to do this. This is the only way. Any other ways, any other methods used by a person, meditation techniques or japam or bhajan, all those are fine, all those are good, as long as it helps in remembering this truth. If it doesn't help in remembering this truth, then after 50 years, I envy you, like, you sing very well. 20 years back, I used to sing well, but now I am growing old, so I cannot sing well. I cannot sing bhajans, cannot sit on the floor, so I cannot sing bhajans for quite a long time. So that will be the dukkham. Bhajans itself will lead to more dukkham. So rather than that, a person has to always remember this truth, because that is the only way to get anandam. So all other things, all bhajan, japa, dhyanam, meeting mahatmas, all those are required at the worldly level. Like, we can try out solutions. So if we get a headache, we can't just say, oh, Vasudeva Sarvam, Vasudeva Sarvam, headache won't go. After a few minutes, like, we won't be able to say Vasudeva Sarvam, we'll be cursing people around us. So we have to take medicine. We have to take medicine, but along with taking medicine, we have to remember that the medicine is for temporary solution of one of our problem, which is headache, which is temporary. The real problem is dukkham, and that dukkham can be removed or eradicated completely only by Vasudeva Sarvam. That is the only way to eradicate dukkham once and for all. So all other things are antavattu phalam tesham. Antavat, or it is limited. Limited means the happiness derived is limited. It will stay only for some time. After that, again the same problem or again the same cry. So many people go to Amma. So if we meet people or Amma's devotees, so the first they would have gone to ask for Amma, like I'm not getting married. So, and like after a couple of years they get married, and then they go to Amma, Amma, I'm not having children. After a couple of years again, Amma, I have children, but my child is not hearing or listening to what I say. And then after 2 years, Amma, my child is not doing really good in school. He's not studying at all. And after 5 years, the child's education and then child's marriage, well, this will go on. Where will it end? It won't end anywhere. So we can ask all those. Like, we can go to Mahatmas. We can seek all those from Ishvara. That's fine. It's good. Dharma viruddho bhutesh kamosmi bharatarshava. So any kamam along with Vasudeva Sarvam. So when we go to Amma, we have to add this as well. Okay, everything is Ishvara. Oh Amma, give me the strength that let me remember that everything is Ishvara. So then what will happen is, first we'll be asking something from Amma. After 2 years, our like desires get reduced. We feel that like after a few years, after 5 years or 10 years, when we go and meet Amma, we don't have anything to ask and we feel surprised. Oh Amma, it is a miracle Amma. After these many years, now I don't have anything to ask you. I'm just like swept by the anandam, by your compassion, by your love. So that is what we have to really do. Else it is like a person going to the ocean and then taking some bit of water and drinking it. So the best way to quench one's thirst is by jumping into the ocean. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa questioned his disciples that, okay, and he asked like specifically Narendra or Vivekananda. So he asked, Narendra, you are a fly now. So you are a fly, think that you are a fly, and like there is a bowl of Amritam. So, and you want to drink it, what will you do? So Narendra immediately replied, oh, I'll sit on the edge of the bowl and then try to lick or drink Amritam. So Ramakrishna immediately said, oh Narendra, it is Amritam. Why do you have to lick? Just go into it, fall into it, you will become eternal. So it is like drinking Amritam or trying to take a little bit of water from ocean. If we ask, if we seek worldly things, along with those seeking those worldly things, we have to try to remember Vasudeva Sarvam. That is when a person stops seeking anything from Ishvara. Just, oh Ishvara, I need just you. So if we see Amma's life, like Amma in her early days, like she became a bhakta and she was praying to Ishvara. At that time, she didn't pray that, okay, oh Ishvara, give me strength that I can help out the entire world. She wanted to help the entire world, but she didn't do that. Amma didn't ask that, I need to get disciples. Of course, we read yesterday that she asked, but at times some desires may come up, but it is not essential. They are not bound by those desires. Even those desires, if they are not fulfilled, still they will be happy. So Amma was crying, not for any of these worldly desires. These worldly desires came a little later, after she realized. After Amma became one with Ishvara, then she asked all these desires. Early days, like when Amma was doing Dhyanam, she used to just think about Ishvara. That's it. Oh Ishvara, I want you, I want you. That strong desire to realize, to remember Ishvara, that is what is really required. That is what can, or that is the only thing that can give us anandam All other thing will only give us dukkham. So along with learning Vedanta, along with seeking worldly things to Ishvara, we have to try to remember that Vasudeva Sarvam. So our life doesn't have to change anything at all. We don't need to change anything externally. We don't have to start wearing long hair. We don't have to start growing our beard like sannyasis. We don't have to quit our jobs. We don't have to go and join a mission. We don't have to do any of those things. We don't have to give up anything externally. We just have to internally remember that everything is Ishvara and add that thought along with everything. So when we get up in the morning and when we cook, we can remember, oh Ishvara, the fire is you are the fire. You are the vessel. You are the vegetable. You are the food that is being cooked. And it is being cooked by you. Oh Ishvara, you are only there. So if we try that out once, we will realize that the food that is cooked that way becomes more tasteful or more tasty. So that's the reason why the food created by Amma's people or Amma's Brahmacharis are really tasty, because Amma's rule is that while they are doing that, they have to chant their mantra. Mantra japa means remembering Ishvara, remembering everything is Ishvara. So the moment a person does that, we can clearly see Anandam. So when Amrita Swarupa Ananda sings, we can feel the bliss. So the reason why we can see the bliss or feel the bliss is because Amrita Swarupa Ananda is thinking about Ishvara. So Ishvara Smarana, Vasudeva Sarvam will immediately bring bliss to whatever activities a person is doing. So we don't have to give up anything externally. We just have to remember or have this thought that everything is Ishvara internally. So we'll continue in the next day. Namaste.